This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. You know, Rick believes the Lord is using this global pandemic to call us to a deeper love for God and our fellow man. That's why he's bringing us the fourth installment of his series called A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't, taken from the book of James. In a little while, we're going to tell you about how you can get a copy of Pastor Rick's DVD study kit called Daring Faith. This powerful tool will inspire you to new heights in your walk of faith with God. Go to PastorRick.com to find out more or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called A Faith That Helps Me See the Truth.
Welcome back to our series through the book of James called A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't. We've been studying this little but extremely practical and powerful New Testament book in order to learn the principles for living through a pandemic. And as I've mentioned several times, James wrote this little book during a time of great stress in those days, great persecution, when Christians were not able to meet publicly for worship. In fact, many of them had lost their homes and they had lost their businesses when they were forced to flee the city of Jerusalem. Now, I want to begin today by asking you a question. Have you ever felt a deep feeling that something you were considering doing was the absolute right thing to do? And you just felt it in your heart. It was the right thing to do. But after you did it, it was obvious in hindsight that it was exactly the wrong thing to do. If you're a normal human being, I'm sure that that's happened to you many, many times. Why does that happen? Why is it when I feel like it's the right thing to do and then I do it, but then it ends up not being the right thing to do? Well, first, you rarely have 100% of the facts and the information you need, and you get in a hurry. And second, because you're not God, you can't always see the unintended consequences of your actions. But there's a third reason, is that not everything that you think and not everything that you feel is true. Just because you think it doesn't make it true. And just because you feel something doesn't make it right. And sometimes that leads to disastrous consequences. In the Bible, in Proverbs 16, verse 25, it says this: people always think they're doing the right thing. Okay, we don't intentionally do the wrong thing. People always think they're doing the right thing. But in the end, it leads them to their death. Now, that may seem like we're making the right choice. It may feel like we're making the right choice, but it doesn't guarantee that it is the right choice, because you need a more objective authority for your decisions than simply your own feelings or your own intuition. Now, three times in the book of James, he says, don't deceive yourself. He's talking about self-deception. Don't deceive yourself. He says it three times. And in many other places in the book, he warns you against trusting your own fallible thinking. In fact, self-deception is a major theme of this book. And now, almost 600 years before James wrote his book in the Bible, God told us the same thing in Jeremiah 17, verse 9. It says this: the human mind is the most deceitful of all things. Deceitful of all things. It is incurable. No one can understand how deceitful it is. That's what God says about my mind and your mind. The human mind is the most deceitful things of all things. It is incurable. No one can understand how deceitful it is. That's a pretty shocking statement. But you know what? Our lives prove its truth literally every day. The fact is, what you tell yourself is not always the truth. And what you feel is not always true. Feelings lie. Your thoughts and your feelings can be created by a whole lot of untrusting and untrustworthy causes. You know, I've often pointed out to you that we lie to ourselves far more than we lie to anybody else. Sometimes we tell ourselves that things are worse than they really are. And sometimes we tell ourselves that things are better than they really are. You're not really a good judge of you. You're not really a good judge of your own life. Why? Because you certainly aren't impartial. Your mind is filled with all kinds of biases from your experiences in life and prejudices and, all these things that have come to color how you see things. Now, what God says about your thoughts and about your feelings, that they are deceitful, that we deceive ourselves all the time. You know what? That's the exact opposite of what everything in our culture tells you. Now, Jeremiah 17, verse 9, that verse we just read, is a countercultural verse. Why? Because everything in our culture today tells you to look within yourself whenever you want to know the right thing to do. If you don't believe in God, or if you're not trusting in God, where do you look? Well, they always say, look within. It sounds so spiritual. And we all our lives, we've been bombarded with these little slogans like trust the force, you know, that's inside you. The answer is inside you, or do whatever feels best to you. Have you ever heard that one? Yeah, you may have said it to yourself. I got to do what's best for me. Or go with your hunches, or follow your instincts, or listen to your inner voice, or if it feels right, do it, or just trust your gut. You know, the problem with all of these pieces of worldly advice, they don't work. They don't work because they're based on a lie. The truth is, you don't have all the knowledge of the universe inside of you. Your brain holds only a very small fraction of all the knowledge that is out there. And the knowledge that you do have gets distorted by your experiences, gets distorted by your emotional needs, gets distorted by your current blood sugar level, your relational conflicts, and hundreds of other factors, including the fact that we all have a broken brain. Everything on earth is broken from sin. Your brain doesn't always work perfectly because everything has been broken by sin in this world. So, as I said, James talks about his theme of self-deception and how easy it is to fool ourselves with our own rationalizations. Now, to rationalize is to tell rational lies. That's what it means to rationalize. You tell yourself rational lies. In other words, I try to convince myself in my mind that something is okay that I know in my heart is not okay. I tell myself a rational lie. It's a battle, and this battle's going on in your life constantly, between my consciousness and my conscience. My consciousness and my conscience. So, what I want to do today is quickly just give you some examples, some examples from the Bible of ways that we regularly deceive ourselves with self-deception. And then I want to show you what the Bible says you should do about it, what to do about it. First, we have to ask, why is it important that we tell ourselves the truth? Because we don't tell ourselves the truth all the time. Why is it important to tell ourselves the truth about ourselves, even when it's painful? Well, Jesus said it is the truth that sets us free. It is the truth that solves our problems. It is acting on the truth that brings us happiness and joy. And the more you can stop listening to self-thoughts and feelings that aren't true, the happier and the healthier and the more holy you're going to be. So, now, let's look at some common examples of common ways that we get trapped by our own untrue thoughts and our own false feelings, okay? So let me just give you a list. We're going to go through these pretty fast. You're going to have to write them down fast. First, God says, I am deceiving myself. Listen, when I think that all I've earned and deserve is what I have. In other words, when I think I've earned and I deserve all that I have. You say, what do you mean by that, Rick? Well, in today's culture, we admire, we even idolize what we call the self-made person. The guy who supposedly pulls himself up by his own bootstraps, makes a success of himself, but in reality, there is no such thing as a self-made man. Did you make your own eyes? Did you make your own ears to hear? Who gave you the brain to think up all those good plans and business ideas? You would have nothing if God hadn't given it to you. So there is no such thing as a self-made man. You make the most of what God gave you, but it all came from God. He could have had you be born to different parents. You could have been born in a different place, at a different time, with different gifts and different talents. All those things came from God. Now, God wants you to succeed in life, but He just wants you to recognize that it's all a gift from Him and be grateful for it. And when you think that you've done it all on your own without God's help, you are deceiving yourself in the biggest way. You see, even unbelievers should be grateful that God allowed them to live, allowed them to have the gifts and the plans that they do. You know, God allowed one time the king of Assyria to defeat Israel because they had turned away from God. And so He let the king of Assyria bring discipline to the Israelites by beating them in a war. But that king, the king of Assyria, became boastful, and he became so proud. So God said this to the king of Assyria, Isaiah chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. He says, God said, I will punish the king of Assyria for his prideful arrogance. He claims, I've done this all by myself. By my own strength, I've won these battles. By my own clever wisdom, I've captured many nations, and I've made myself wealthy. God says, no, you didn't. None of that would have happened if I hadn't allowed it. You didn't make all that. I allowed it to happen in your life. Now, this is the first and most common self-deception, thinking that everything I have, well, I earned it and I deserved it because it was all done by my effort. No, no, we forget God. And here's what James says about that. James 1, 16 to 18. Don't be deceived. Don't deceive yourselves, dear brothers and sisters. Every good gift you have is a perfect present from God above. It's come down from the Father who created all of the heavenly lights. So this is the first deception. When I think that my success is caused by me, when I think that I made myself and I don't give God any credit for it, then I'm in a real trouble because I'm deceiving myself. Number two, God says I'm deceiving myself when I think hearing God's word means that I've obeyed it. Now, this is a real common one too. When I think that just hearing God's word, like you're listening to me right now, means that you have obeyed it, that you've done it, that you've applied it in your life. You know, we may attend a worship service or watch online like we're doing right now, or even take notes on what we hear. But that doesn't mean we've actually applied it in our lives, that we have obeyed what God said to do and that we've actually done anything about it. This is the second big self-deception in life. James talks about this in verse 22 of chapter 1. He says this, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Did you hear that? He said, you must do what it says to do. He says, if you're just listening to this message right now and you don't do anything about it, you have deceived yourself once again. It didn't really help you. It didn't really help. I want to show you this verse in some other translations. James 1:22. Look at this verse on your screen from NCV version says, when you only listen to God's word and you do nothing about it, you're just fooling yourself. Okay, you're just fooling yourself. Why is that? Well, a study done by the United States Air Force discovered that when you listen to something, that if all you do is hear it, you don't write it down, you forget 90 to 95% of everything you hear within 72 hours if you don't write it down. That's why I always provide an outline with all the verses written out and fill-ins for every message. Because if you're just listening to this and you're not taking any notes, that means in just 72 hours, you will have forgotten almost everything I've said. Almost everything. You don't remember what I said last week or the week before that or the week before that. It goes in one ear and out the other. As James 1:22 in the Message says, don't fool yourself letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. So the first thing you got to do is you got to retain it. How do you retain it? Write it down. But even if you take notes, that doesn't guarantee you're going to apply the truth in your life. Jesus said this in John 13, verse 17. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Notice, the blessing from the Bible doesn't come from knowing the Bible. The blessing from the Bible comes from doing what the Bible says. That's the self-deception. Thinking, well, I've heard all these sermons and all these Bible studies that Rick's taught, so I'm a mature Christian. Not if you haven't done anything about them. Not if you don't know anything about this one we do today. You just listen to it and then forget it. Okay? Let me go to another one. Number three. God says that I'm deceiving myself when I think I'm mature, but I don't control my mouth. We did a whole session on this one, so I won't have to go into it in detail, but James 1:26 says this. If you think you're religious, you think you're spiritual, you think you're mature, you think you're a disciple, but you do not control your tongue, then your religion is worthless and you deceive yourself. Whoa. Now, we did a whole entire message on this in the series. You can go back and listen to it. But your mouth reveals your maturity. Okay? What you say is the acid test of your spirituality. You know, just like when you go to a doctor and he asks you to stick out your tongue and he looks at your tongue to determine how healthy you are, God says your spiritual health is revealed by your tongue. James 1:26 in the Message says this, anyone who sets himself up as religious by talking a good game is self-deceived. This kind of religion is hot air and only hot air. So I can deceive myself by thinking that I did all the success myself. God didn't have anything to do with it. It's all a gift of God. I can deceive myself when I think I'm mature, but my mouth is revealing that I'm really immature. My tongue is giving away my true level of spirituality. Number four, God says, I'm deceiving myself when I assume my viewpoint is what God thinks. Well, God says, no, you got this all wrong here. When I assume that my viewpoint, what I think, my opinion, my political view, my spiritual view, my theological view, whatever, when I assume that my viewpoint is the same thing as God's viewpoint, that it's identical. You ever met anybody who thinks they're right all the time or almost all the time? Of course you have. It's you. It's me. You think your views are right most of the time, maybe secretly even all the time. Now, you've never said this. You've never admitted it. But we've all felt like Job at different times. Job 11, verse 4, you say to God, my beliefs are flawless. My beliefs are flawless, and I can't be blamed for anything. Now, that's worse enough when you're claiming that you got it all figured out, that your political view, your financial view, or whatever is not where is, you know, is perfect. What's worse is when you start thinking that your opinions and your viewpoints and your perspective are identical to God's perspective and God's viewpoint. That's dangerous self-deception. But you know what? I've actually noticed this a lot this year among Christians during the global infirmity, COVID-19, and the social instability and the racial inequality and the political incivility. I have talked to a number of Christians who act and think like God is a member of their political party. And that God hates the other people in the other party as much as they do. Well, sorry, you're wrong, because I can show you dozens and dozens of Bible verses where God clearly points out that he's not a member of any political party. In fact, Jesus said the exact opposite. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. He said, if my kingdom were part of this world, then my servants would fight They'd fight for it. But he said, it's not of this world. Christians are members of a much more important party, the kingdom of God. So never confuse your politics with God's purposes in the world. And never confuse what you value with what God values the most.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, simply go to PastorRick.com to listen again, to find out more about this ministry, and to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. Rick's going to be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. Now, if you'd like to step out of an ordinary existence and into a life of extraordinary faith, then you're going to want to order the Daring Faith DVD and Study Kit by Pastor Rick Warren. Here's Rick to tell you more.
How'd you like to have a bold, unshakable faith that gives you the courage to make the changes you've always wanted to see in your life, your work, your family, and in the world? That's not a dream. That's exactly what God wants to do in your life. He wants you to learn to live by daring faith. The Bible says, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. Now, to help you develop that kind of faith, I put together a Daring Faith Study Kit, and it includes a DVD and it includes a workbook. Now, there's six sessions in the Daring Faith Study Kit, and it'll teach you these six things: how to build a life of faith, how to expect the best from God, how to stretch your imagination in order to see what God wants to do in your life, to expand your vision, how to have the courage to take the initiative with your faith, how to face your fears with bold faith, and how to believe and what to do while you're waiting on God. You cannot afford to miss this series. It was one of the most important series I've ever done at Saddleback Church. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 3:12, because of our faith in Him, we dare to have boldness and courage and confidence in coming to God with freedom and without fear. I want you to have that boldness, that courage, and that confidence when you come to God in prayer. I want you to come to Him without fear and come to Him in freedom. God will use this Daring Faith Study Kit just like He used it in the lives of tens of thousands of other people. He'll use it in your life if you'll trust Him in all things. So get this kit today and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
Today, when you support this ministry with a financial gift, we'll send you a copy of the Daring Faith Study Kit, a six-session DVD and workbook, as our way of saying thanks. Go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.